Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them. From the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums, to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. My guest today is Joseph Quadrer of storysavor.com, and that's storysavor, storysavor.com. Joseph, why don't you tell me a little bit something about yourself, this company, why you started it, and why it's important?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on here. Really excited to be a guest today and talk a little bit about my company and what we do. So essentially what StorySavor is, it's a biography writing services firm. We connect people with professional writers who artfully capture their story, combine it with photos. So photos are an important element of what we do, and create beautiful keepsake books. I kind of tell people, like, I know that what we're doing is successful if the books we're making are on, you know, grandchildren and great-grandchildren's coffee table 70 years from now. You know, at StorySavor, I'd like to say we're democratizing the biography writing process. You no longer need to be rich or famous to have your story captured by a professional and shared with your children and grandchildren. But how it got started is kind of interesting because it's been quite a windy path. I always tell people my life was kind of split between my profession and my passion. So my profession for most of my adult life was finance. I got a BA in finance from Notre Dame, an MBA in finance and strategy from NYU, and I spent 17 years as a banker on Wall Street. But my passion was always writing. And I started on the fiction side. So in like grade school and high school, I wrote poetry and short stories and novellas. After college, I wrote 3 novels. And then after my 3rd novel, I realized I wanted something different. You know, rather than inventing fictional stories in my head, I wanted to hear real stories and share them with others. And so I started a blog. And I quite literally walked around the streets of New York City, approached strangers, and captured their stories and shared them with people on my blog. And, you know, I interviewed everyone from men in 3-piece suits to homeless people. And with each story, the website gained more and more followers. Ultimately, I think I had about 1.5 million views of my blog. And through this process, I learned something important, which was instrumental into starting my business later. It's that everyone has a story to tell, but not everyone is a storyteller. I also realized that what I was doing, interviewing people and sharing their stories, was journalism. So in the midst of this project, this little side project that I had, I applied to Columbia Journalism School, and much to my surprise, I was accepted. So how did I get from there to starting this company? So I started Columbia in 2018. I graduated in 2021. I also resigned from my job in corporate America at that point. In November of 2021, just about 2 years ago, I started StorySavor, where, born by my experience helping people tell the stories and by my professional training, I decided to start a company to help people share their stories with others. So sort of a windy path to get here, but I think an interesting one.
And how many writers do you have working for you?
So right now I have 74 writers working for me. You know, I'm the only full-time employee at StorySaver, but you have 74 professional writers, something like 62 in the US, 7 in Europe, 5 in Australia. People are always like, why Australia? Like that's sort of random. And it's the second biggest market for biography writing services after the US. I would not have guessed that, but that's the case. And Maureen, if you can think of like a large national newspaper or magazine in the US, chances are one of my writers has written for them. The New York Times, the New Yorker, Forbes, The Atlantic, ESPN, Sporting News, and on and on and on.
You're keeping writers employed.
That is part of the mission. Yeah, it's not easy to make a living as a writer. I tell people I know New York Times bestselling writers that can't quit their day job. And so it is another thing that we do at the business at StorySaver, where we try to make sure that our writers are equitably paid, and it's a good supplemental income for them as freelancers.
Well, you know, that is true. That's absolutely true. I know best-selling authors and they can't quit their day job. And the impression everyone gets is, okay, you made it to the New York Times bestseller list or some other bestseller list. You've got it made. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. So I have a podcast.
Yeah, no, it's very true. And you know, most of the people that we work with are just people that are not looking to be New York Times bestsellers. They want to capture their stories. They want to memorialize their lives for family members. But we do occasionally work with people that do want to be New York Times bestsellers. And typically what I say is, you know, it's hard to get a return on your investment as a writer writing books. I think typically there's like a 10% return. So if you spend, you know, $50,000 like marketing your book, you'll get a $5,000 return in terms of sales. So we always tell people, if they do have ambitions to use our products to make money or to be thought leader, you have to tie it into something else. The book will allow you to get clients. The book will allow you to get speaking engagements and things like that. But yeah, it's a tough industry.
But I think what you're saying is it's the average person who says, I have a story in me, the story of me, and I would like it to be told, but I don't know how to do that. Can you help me?
Exactly right. And sometimes, Maureen, people will say to me, they'll say, well, why do I need to hire a biography writing services company? Like, why don't I just write it myself? And my answer is always very simple. I say, if you have the skill and the discipline to write your story yourself, you should do it, because nobody will ever care about your story more than you do. But the reality is, like, there's a great quote from George Orwell where he says, writing a book is like a bout with like a long, painful illness. One would not undertake such a task unless it was driven by demons one could not understand or resist. And I paraphrase it there. I'm sure somebody will say I didn't do a very good job paraphrasing. But the point is, it's really hard to sit down and write a book. It takes a lot more skill than people think, and it takes a lot more time. And so we are, yes, as you said, Maureen, we are connecting people with professionals so that we can take all of that horrific struggle that George Orwell spoke about and make it possible for ordinary people to have their story captured.
So what's the process? Someone contacts you and says, I really want some help telling my story. Is it then a series of phone and Zoom interviews? Is it in person? How does it work?
Yeah, so we try to make it super, super simple, super straightforward, and minimize the amount of time that our clients have put in. So first thing we'll do is we'll have a pretty comprehensive consultation with the clients. And what we do on that call, it'll take usually like an hour and a half. We want to understand two things. Number one, what the story is. So if somebody, you know, let's just say they went to like the 1982 Olympics, like that's the story that they really want to capture for their friends and family. So we'll understand what that is. What are the major elements they want to hit upon? And also why they want to tell it. Because that's another really important thing. It's not only, okay, I went to the 1982 Olympics, but like, why do you want to capture your story? Because the way that we tell the story, the writer that we pick, so on and so forth, will be affected by understanding not only what the story is, but why they want to tell it. Then what I'll do is I'll go out to my writers and see who is available and interested in taking on the project. Just to stick with this example, if somebody says they want to capture when they went to the Olympics, I might say, okay, well, I have one writer that wrote for ESPN, one that writes for Sporting Illustrated, and one that Sports Illustrated, and one that writes for Sporting News. Might go to them and say, hey, are you interested? If all three of them raise their hand, I'll then go back to the client and say, okay, Mrs. Smith, here are three writers. They've all have professional experience writing about sports. Which one of them do you connect with the best to write your story? And then once they pick the writer, we conduct interviews over the phone. Typically what we'll do is like an hour a week. You know, if, you know, as a professionally trained journalist that has interviewed people and been interviewed, I know just how exhausting it is to interview and be interviewed. And so what we recommend to people is just do an hour a week. You know, so our book writing packages call for 4, 6, or 10 hours of interviews. So let's just say, listen, as the client, all you need to do is to agree to come on the phone with your writer once a week, once every other week, whatever the process is. And then essentially after that, we will conduct the interviews, create transcripts, weave it into a narrative. It will go to the client, myself or someone else at the company, and make sure we hit on all the important elements. It will go to the client to make sure that they're okay with it. Once we get that completed, we will add photos. So our packages come with 20, 30, or 50 photos and captions. Come back to the client with a proof. Once they sign off on it, we physically format the book and print it and send it to them. So that's one other thing that we do a little bit differently. I mean, there's plenty of companies out there that do this, but it's something that we do, is actually create physical books and mail them out. So they're not just getting like a PDF.
That's great. That's absolutely great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like the fact that you're matching. You have so many writers in your stable of writers that you can match someone's story with someone who has expertise in that field, which is important. I write about photographs. Approaching me to write about the 1982 Olympics, no, it's not going to happen. I don't know where to start. But if you match them up with someone who has all of that experience, sports writing, you get a much deeper, better quality biography.
Yeah. And it's even sometimes, you know, it's sometimes they'll say, I prefer to work with a female writer or a male writer, or, you know, I was part of the South Asian diaspora and I would like to work with somebody from that part of the world because they'll really understand my stories, you know? And so it's those traits. And then it's also just sometimes the personal connection. You know, somebody will just say, well, maybe it on paper makes more sense for me to work with this person or that person, but I really connect with this person. I can tell that they have a passion for sharing my story and I'd like to work with him or her. So it's always an interesting process. It's sort of like I call it a bespoke marketplace where I'm curating it to a degree, but ultimately the client is the one making the decision on who they want to work with.
And what's the average cost of this? Because, I mean, there are high-end biography providers.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because again, like having entered this industry, you know, later in life, when I first started looking at it, you know, it's like any art, right? I think writing this sort of stuff is like any art. And, you know, you can spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on this, but approaching it and working with all those people didn't necessarily scratch my itch of making it, democratizing it and making it affordable to as many people as possible. So the way that we do it, the structure that we have, the writers that we work with, we make it as affordable as possible with our packages ranging from $3,000 to $8,000. And, you know,
that's amazing. I mean, that is affordable.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Whenever I say the prices to people, they'll either say, oh my gosh, like that's, you know, that's expensive, or they'll say, oh my gosh, that's so cheap. And I say, you know, when you think of the, you know, for like one of our biography packages, you know, it could be 60 to 70 hours of work for the writer, you know, and then not to mention the formatter. So when you factor in the amount of time it takes to do something like this, we think it's very affordable. It's obviously an investment. It's obviously, you know, a few thousand dollars any way you cut it, but we like to think we're making it as affordable as humanly possible. Well, as you mentioned before, still making sure that the writers get paid a fair amount. You know, that's an important thing for me.
Exactly. I mean, the writing profession is full of jobs where when you're done, he's like, wow, I made like 5 cents a word. if you put in all the time. But what you're trying to do is make it much more equitable for everyone on both sides.
Yeah, and it's interesting. One thing that I do at StorySaver, which I don't know that it's done at any other company, and it could be. I don't have insight to exactly what other companies are doing, but it's exactly what you said, where when you look at all the time that you put into writing something, oftentimes journalists are making, you know, minimum wage and or not minimum wage. So where I'm going with this is, when I was at Columbia Journalism School, my master's thesis was a 4,000 word article that I sold to a scientific magazine called Hakai. 4,000 words sold for $4,000. And at the time, my classmates were like going wild. Like, that is unheard of to get a dollar per word for, you know, one of your first journalistic pieces. But I tracked the amount of time, loosely tracked it, in between interviewing ornithologists. It was a story about birds, interviewing ornithologists and scientists, traipsing from salt marshes, from Jamaica, Queens, all the way up to Hammonasset Park in Connecticut, interviewing, you know, pitching. I would say I spent at least 200 hours doing it. And so when you look at what I was making on an hourly basis, I was making at the very most $200 an hour, and probably less than that, because I'd say it was probably more than like 250 hours. And so with my writers, what we do is we pay on an hourly basis, you know, so that if it goes over time, like, we're making sure that they're being paid a fair amount and not based on a word count, of which doesn't take into account how much time they spent.
Right, right. So you started this company in 2021. You have
correct
78 writers right now, which the exponential growth of finding writers, you're in the right place. You're in New York, where there are right a lot of writers, but you have them all over the world. You've created this amazing network. How many projects is your company currently working on?
We're probably working on about 20, I would say. Which it's funny, when people hear the amount of writers and the amount of projects, they're like, well, why do you have so many writers? And I said, well, number one, because we're now entering a phase where we're, you know, marketing and advertising and speaking out about it a lot more and expect to bring more clients. And the other thing is, I have 74 freelance writers. And what that means is, sometimes they have other commitments. Sometimes they can't work in it. Sometimes they don't have an interest. Sometimes, you know, for whatever reason. So by nature, when you have a business like this, you have to have a bunch of writers so that at any given point, you'll have the availability and the desire to work on different projects. You know, I would say, like, at where we would like to get, I would say it'd be 120 projects per year.
Yeah.
10 a month, I think would be good for us.
So someone listening to this decides that they would like to contact you. They get through step one, which is, you know, sending you an email or your contact form on your website. But
yes,
how do you advise them as to how to get organized? Because you have to be organized before the interview.
So a couple things. Number one is, we have a questionnaire. We have a regular length questionnaire. I should say a long and a short one. The long one is over 300 questions. So we break life down into different categories. Mm-hmm. So it might be early family history, sort of like your great-great-grandparents and beyond, to your grandparents, parents, childhood, grammar school, high school, college, career, love, military service, faith, grandparenthood, on and on and on. And we send them out a questionnaire so that they can start to think about what stories they want to tell, you know, and it'll pique their minds and say, oh gosh, I wasn't even thinking of talking about my faith, but now that I saw this and all the questions that you're asking. So one thing I would say is, I would recommend that the person that we're going to be interviewing look at our questionnaire, not write anything down, because that gets into that's our responsibility, not right theirs, but just, you know, earmark, say, okay, in childhood, these are the two or three things I want to talk about. These are the few things I want to talk about in high school, so on and so forth. But apart from that, I would say for people that want to capture their stories, start with what you know and work backward, you know, like think about the stories that you want to tell and then sort of work back from there. You can also like talk to relatives and collect family documents. You know, we also work with an archivist for people that we don't only write like people's biographies and memoirs, but also write tribute books for people that are no longer here. Right. So we've did the story for a guy that died in 1988, mm-hmm. passed away in 1988. And we hired an archivist to pull publicly available information to help pull additional stories about him. We also worked with a person that had early onset Alzheimer's and interviewed his friends and family members to tell his life story as told by his friend, you know, his closest friends and family. So I know that's a long and rambling answer, but I would start with our questionnaire and then look for whatever other stories are available from friends or family member and then publicly available or documents that are available to you to help cobble together the story.
I love this idea.
Well, thank you. I'm so happy to hear that.
Yeah, it's great. I've worked on some very big projects for a competitor of yours. It's an interesting process to interview someone and then, you know, ask all the right questions.
Yeah, it's a process. I mean, it's a process. You know, I tell people, you know, when you take on this, approach it with patience and curiosity, you know, because it will take, I always tell people it's going to take longer than you think. You know, and it's important for them to understand so that they know that it's going, you know, it'll take longer than they expect. And then just have, you know, patience with it. And also, you know, prepare for unexpected twists and turns. Sometimes, you know, I like to say that what we do is not therapy, but it's therapeutic. You know, and sometimes we'll unearth things that people, thoughts and emotions and feelings that people haven't thought about for decades. And so, we get some unexpected twists and turns, but ultimately we find that it is a tremendously enjoyable, therapeutic, and rewarding experience to think about your life and capture it. And it also, you know, it also allows people to digest and make sense of a lot of things that happen in their lives, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when you really want to think thoroughly about something, it's good to like journal or write it down. It helps you flesh out the half-baked thoughts you have in your brain. And I think it's the same thing with this. It really helps flesh out the stories, the memories, and the moments in people's lives.
Joseph Quaderer, storysaver.com. Thank you so much for being on The Photo Detective.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review, and if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new. Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.